Welcome to Social Work Insider Podcast. My name is Harleni Vasquez, a licensed social worker and social work career coach. This podcast is the go-to resource for my fellow social workers to become the best version of themselves. Each episode, I'm going to share different mindset, entrepreneur, and career tips for you to implement towards your professional development. Are you ready? Let's go. Enjoy. Welcome back, my fellow social workers, to another episode here on Social Work Insider. And today I have the amazing Madeline Mann, and I'm just so excited because today we're going to be talking all about interview. Madeline, how are you? I'm so excited to have you here.
Oh my gosh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
It's totally, I would love if you can, you know, share a little bit more about, you know, who you are, so everyone in my audience can get to know you on a personal level.
Absolutely. So I'm Madeline Mann. I am the creator of Self-Made Millennial. You may have seen my award-winning YouTube channel or TikTok channel, or you may have seen me posting on LinkedIn. And essentially, I'm a human resources leader turned career coach. I was the one who was seeing all of the conversations behind the scenes of who's landing the job, who wasn't. And I turned that all into content. And since starting my YouTube channel years ago, it has been amazing. The thousands and thousands of success stories of people landing their career defining job and moving up in their career and all these things. And I have private coaching programs where I've actually also had social workers in those programs and go, wow, okay, these things really work for my profession as well.
Absolutely. I love it. And, you know, I always, you know, to kind of share is that, you know, I've been following Madeline for the past like 2 years and a half, even before I became a career coach and got on LinkedIn, all those things. So it's truly, truly an honor to have you as a guest. And, you know, I love that you definitely worked with social workers. So you definitely understand hat on hand when it comes to this particular profession, that it's not, you know, one size fits all. It's not only clinical. It's not only, you know, direct practice. I always say, you know, social work is more with what you make it within your particular degree and really, you know, enhancing your particular, your unique skills. And of course, you know, you having a particular background, HR, I would love to start the conversation with, you know, kind of some of the trends that you probably noticed when, you know, as a career coach, and even when you were in your career as HR, when it came to some of the struggles, you know, when it came to you coming across people with that are interviewing.
Yeah. So I would say that one of the biggest things is so many people go into the interview with the idea of, I'm going to go in and try to answer their questions as best as I can. And so what ends up when you have that mentality, what you do is you end up answering their questions very literally. If someone asks you, you know, what is your favorite task that you did your last job? They'll just answer what the task was without understanding, okay, why did they ask me that? What insights were they trying to glean? And so people do that. And then second of all, they end up just being at the mercy of the interviewer's questions. And I'm telling you right now, interviewers do not ask very good questions. So if you're always just trying to chase the most accurate, direct answer to whatever they're asking, you're not going to actually find the glory in your story. Tell them exactly what makes you a valuable candidate. You need to come into the interview with a game plan of the information you are going to convey and not be so passively accepting their questions and hoping that they get the information they need to make a good decision.
Absolutely. Yeah. I usually always tell my clients that, you know, even before, you know, going into interview prep, or even before you start your job search process, everything that you do has to be direct and intentional, you know, really coming up with a concrete plan, not just winging in saying like, I guess I'm going to just, you know, kind of, you know, check out their vibes and go with the flow. So I can definitely imagine, you know, a lot of those encounters as you probably had. And, you know, when it comes to, I know you people always say, you know, do your research and network, you know, before the interview. I mean, I would love if you can share a little bit of how that really looks like for anyone who's currently listening.
Absolutely. I think that the battle is won before it's fought, right? Mm-hmm. Sun Tzu said that. And really, that is the way it is for an interview. You going into this prepared is going to make all the difference. So I definitely think as simple as making sure to ask before your interview, who's the name of the interviewer? Is there anything I should prepare? You know, what is the typical format of this interview? Those questions. And you don't always get answers to that, which is fine. But sometimes they will tell you exactly what the interview is about, not because the goal is not to hire the best interviewer. The goal is to hire the best candidate. So I think all of us have some sort of mentality in our head that we need to go in without notes in front of us, that we need to go in without knowing exactly what's going to happen in that interview. No, in real life, you go into meetings knowing what the agenda is and preparing yourself and bringing your own notes. So this is not some game of best memory or best reaction to questions. So you should be asking these questions proactively, preparing, doing the research, looking at these people who are going to be interviewing you, their backgrounds, looking at that on LinkedIn, you know, connecting with them, right? Like if you were interviewing me, I'd probably talk about how we both have psychology degrees, right? And what kind of drew, you know, how did you end up going this direction from your psychology degree? It's such a broad degree. How'd you do that, right? And we would immediately connect with you as my interviewer. And so things like that, you always want to be looking for those things to where, again, you're just not leaving this interview up to chance.
Absolutely. And, you know, I love that you also highlighted when it came to not memorizing. I've clients before they start working with me, and I know you probably heard this many times, they're like, oh, you know, I want to make sure that I go and kill the interview. And their particular mentality, killing the interview. And if you probably saw me right now, I'm already doing quotation marks. But it's coming from a place of they feel that they have to tell me about yourself, you know, your elevator pitch. That has to be very memorized. And it's something that you can never forget your why when it comes to your particular interest of the organization or your company. And same goes with realizing selling with your particular strengths, right? Coming from a place of validating that you have so much to offer, but at the end of the day, you want to make sure that that organization will be a good fit for you. Is this something that you come across with your clients as well when it comes to, you know, going in there confidently and being able to, you know, basically pitch themselves, but in the particular concept that is not so, you know, this particular question and this particular question, rather than coming from a place of just really sharing all of their unique skills?
Absolutely. My most popular video on YouTube is the video I did on behavioral interviewing. And so if anyone wants to head over to Self-Made Millennial, it should be on my top viewed videos. It'll be number one. And what I teach in that video has been completely life-changing to people because I talk about answering questions using stories. Now, if you understand the stories that are very compelling about you and what shows your character, because so many people in the job interview, you know what they do, and this is such outdated career advice, is they'll start self-describing. So they'll say things like, well, I'm really collaborative. I'm really hardworking. I'm very creative. And that is all very weak language. I don't actually believe you when you say that. Mm-hmm. But if you say, instead of saying, I am collaborative, you say, you know, I jumped on a project team where we were able to, you know, I was able to help, you know, dole out roles and we were able to build something great. And then you also see the creativity of how you problem solve. So you're seeing all these things. And what's great about this approach is called the Story Toolbox, which I have like a free download in that video as well that walks people through it. What's amazing about this approach is if you have this mastered, you will not have to memorize all of these specific questions and answers, because if you know the stories that make you great, these often match a lot of different questions. So you can come across as a lot more authentic. You can get the right messages across, and it feels a lot more crystal clear about what it would be like to work with you because it's story-based versus you self-describing how you might be in the future or how you feel that you are in general.
Absolutely. And, you know, I love that you highlighted the importance of storytelling, right? You know, an interviewer is not going to, you know, you're going in there pretty much on a clean slate, right? So it's coming from a place of you never want to say something that's going to bring any red flags to them because they don't know you. They only know what they see on paper. So you being able to really paint that picture is going to paint a better picture for them when it comes to, wow, I actually see this particular candidate, you know, maybe working for our organization, right? Which is at the end of the day, the ultimate goal. And I can only imagine too, during the interview process that you probably have encountered many times is that, you know, there's a difference between someone being very nervous and there's a difference between someone not being able to answer the question. So it's something coming from a place of like, we're all human. Like we have every right to be nervous. I think it's just more, your chances are going to be higher if you come from a place of being able to storytell to the best of your ability. Is this something that you probably encounter as well in the past?
Definitely. Exactly. And it's exactly as you say that we create the entire image of ourselves in the interview. We often forget, you know, you and I both work very closely with clients. They often forget how in control you are of the situation. The job interview process, while it is so demoralizing and you're always confused, you never know where you stand, at the same time, it's empowering because everything on that resume is something you wrote. Mm-hmm. Everything in that interview is something you said. Everything on your LinkedIn profile is hand selected by you. So basically every single touch point that they have is something that you have curated for them. So I think we need to start, you know, if what you've curated isn't getting you results, of course you want to work like a coach, like with yourself, to really get that crystal clear. But the wonderful thing is that you are in control. You can make this happen. And just because you had maybe a negative experience at your last job doesn't mean that the way we answer in the interview process has to be negative. There's learnings in everything, and that can make it a positive.
Absolutely. And it's also about that reminder, like never forget you're interviewing them. You always want to make sure that the organization, you know, aligns with your mission, with your values, because just how they're viewing you on paper, you're doing the same thing when it comes to you researching their website and all those things. And, you know, like for myself, and I can only imagine you as well, when it comes to the work that you do with the clients, you know, when it comes to that confidence piece, that mindset piece, you know, maybe that imposter syndrome is kicking in, coming from a place of, you know, you being your own hype person before you go into the interview. And really, like you said, mirroring your particular experience, because that's you, it's your particular, you know, journey, and no one can take that away. And it's also about stepping into your power, like you stated. And I know too, I also want to mention that, of course, and people always say that all the time when it comes to salary, right? Like it's something that can also be very intimidating, especially if it's asked early on in the process. So what, you know, insights or tips will you have when it comes to that particular, you know, salary in the interview process?
Yeah, I think that it's a lot more malleable than you think. And one of the things that I really like to talk about is it's not this hardball conversation. It's more of really trying to put as much on them as you can to have them give you ranges. So if they ask for what are your compensation requirements, how much did you make in your last role, you might say something, you know, when it comes to compensation, I'm pretty open and flexible to the overall role and compensation package. What range are you working within for this role? And a lot of times they'll give you that range. And what I did there is what I call kind of more cushioning your language, where you're not saying I need this or else. I'll tell you, it's amazing how many times I've interviewed candidates and they feel like they're playing hardball. No, you're both on the same team. They want you to come in and thrive. You want to have the right package to come in and thrive. So really talking about it that way and having a great relationship. And time again, I really advise people to put the numbers in the hands of the employer, because too often I've seen too many people lowball themselves or even highball themselves to where the company feels like they can't even reach where you're going. So it's just so much better to let them give the number and then be able to compromise and talk further.
Absolutely. And what would you say to someone who's trying to figure out that particular number? Of course, research. But I would love if you can elaborate as to what does that research really look like, besides like Glassdoor and all of these websites that most people throw out.
Yeah. So it really is important to cite data when you're having this conversation. Data can be these sites like LinkedIn, Glassdoor, salary.com, pulling several of those numbers and saying, okay, you said that this role is $75,000. What I'm seeing on my salary research is that a lot of people in this role in this city are making between 83 and 92,000. Is there any way that we can make up the difference? And so what I didn't say there was, 75. I was really hoping we get closer to 83. I just feel like you're undervaluing me. And again, people say this all the time, and that's a low value way to approach negotiation. The way I said it was completely devoid of emotion in the first place, because I was just saying, I'm just citing numbers. Mm-hmm. Now, another valid data point is other companies who you're interviewing with. So if you are currently paid more than what they're saying, or if a company that you're speaking with is saying our range is between 93 and 101, you can use that saying, hey, I'm currently interviewing with two other companies. This is the range they are looking at or whatnot, right? So it doesn't have to necessarily, because that is more data points on how much you're worth. So use those as well.
Absolutely. Thank you for breaking that down, because, you know, there's just so much noise out there, and it's always helpful, you know, for my fellow social workers or any other person, or even in the helping profession, or anyone who listens to this podcast is able just to gain that better picture and that sense of like, okay, what am I allowed to say? What am I allowed to do? Because of course, in every situation is going to look different, but I think it's always important to remember basically the high level of this conversation is, you know, selling with your strengths and coming from a place of validation. Dating that you are unique and you have so much to offer. And I love it now if you can share some insight when it comes to that elevator pitch, right? Because I know there's just so much, and I always usually tell my clients that, you know, what I just said, pretty much going hand on hand with, you know, really selling with unique strengths and just really highlighting those key components of your particular experience.
So one thing that you need to understand about the elevator pitch is so often people will talk about what they love about themselves. So like, what are their biggest strengths or what are their biggest career highlights? But that is not always the same thing as what the company is looking for or the organization. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say, mostly in your social work career, you've worked with adults and now you're going to do social work at a school or with young children. And so let's say that when you're working with doing social work with more with adults or interacting with a different population, maybe it wasn't exactly social work, but you were counseling them or whatnot. There was maybe some interactions with children at certain points. Maybe that was about 10% of your time. Well, in your elevator pitch, I would focus 100% of your elevator pitch on those interactions with those children. So if you're going for this social work role, you would talk about how, you know, I counseled adults who had addiction, and one thing that I was really great at was, you know, working with these different children and their, you know, transition or whatnot, right? And then being able to work that into how that relates to the role. And so I think less is more. You really want to focus on the right things. And I do have on the front page of my website, this worksheet that people go absolutely nuts for on madelinemann.com. It's the Tell Me About Yourself worksheet that really boils it down of how do I introduce myself? How do I talk about certain things about my past? And how do I actually wrap up that answer? Because it is so challenging. People go across the board. They talk way too much about their different interests and passions and background, when really we just need to focus on that one particular thing that really this company or this organization is looking for.
Absolutely. And when you're saying that, if you're saying this, my brain is literally, my head is literally nodding, because I'm like, that, you know, particular, it's also the same thing when it comes to what do you see yourself in 5 years? The company wants to know is, do you see yourself in the particular organization? This is why optimization is key, right? Not forgetting, you know, everything that Madeline mentioned, it was just more of like, you're not discrediting everything that you have gained, you know, and encountered so far. You're just pretty much pulling all of those pieces and tailoring and optimize it to the job you want, which is the same particular concept for your LinkedIn profile, for your resume. You always have to tailor to the job you want, because, you know, employers like to be selfish. It's like, okay, what about what's in it for me, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many of us have ever said, you know, I've got $60,000. Who am I going to spend it on? Like, if that's a lot of money or whatever salary you're going for. I mean, they really want to make sure that you are someone who has the right skill set and will stay. And they don't want to hear everything about you. They just want to hear, do you have the skill set I'm looking for? Can you please spell that out for me? And it's the same for any of us. Imagine buying a car and really all you're interested in is, you know, the sound system and the size of the cup holders. If someone starts telling you all about the engine and the, you know, all this other stuff, you're going to tune out because you're like, you don't understand what I want. This is taking forever. I'm going across the street. We're all wired that same way.
Absolutely. Like you have to, you know, just how, you know, recruiters and hiring managers look at resumes within the first 6 seconds. It's the same thing with first impressions and those interviews, whether it's Zoom or whether it's in person. So I absolutely hear you. And I love, you know, that particular analogy because it's just so true. And especially, you know, within our field is something that, of course, there's always vacancies, right? Like for social work, there's always vacancy. Like there's so many hirings and all those things, regardless of what scope of practice, but just because there's opening doesn't mean that is a guarantee, you know, particular job offer, because, you know, the company reserves every right to be selective. So it's coming from the place of just knowing who you are, but also tailoring to the job that you want. And I would love now if you can just share, you know, some last minute insights when it comes to, because I know we've definitely spoken a lot, right? When it comes to interview prep, salary negotiation, mindset, and all those things. I would love if you can share some last minute insight, you know, for job seeker, doesn't matter if it's not, you know, social work, just more of like when it comes to that overall picture to helping job seekers land the job that they want.
I would say that one of the things, if I'm especially thinking about my social work clients, the communication I taught them between the interviews and to land the interviews, they told me was honestly, it put them head and shoulders above the other candidates. These things work. Landing every job is relationships and also really believing in yourself first, that you are highly capable. And if you believe in yourself, then the people who are interviewing you will be so much more confident in your skill set as well. So really being that kind of candidate that is not passively shooting out applications and hoping for interviews or sitting in an interview and then leaving it and saying, well, now we just have to wait. And, you know, weeks go by and you haven't heard back and you're not following up. So really being that proactive candidate, coming into the interview so much more prepared than the others do, not being that passive candidate who just hopes that things go well and you know, just get a good night's sleep and you power pose and all those things. No, it's all about really doing that research. And then, you know, I really coach people on, okay, what are these communications that we have even in between the interviews that really solidifies those things? So proactive is really the main word here.
No, I love it. Yeah, because we totally forgot to, you know, discuss because there's just so much about interviewing. Of course, I'm going to be including in the show notes all of the amazing resources that Madeline has. I think it's coming from a place too of those follow-up emails. Like, don't forget to follow up, right? It's part of the communication that Madeline was mentioning, because, you know, what if there's deciding between two candidates and you're the only one that reached out and you had a beautiful detailed follow-up message, you know, tailoring, you know, what you loved and how you can be an asset. Like, that's going to be like, ooh, I want that candidate, right? What do you say?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I think it's 2 years ago now, I really got up on a soapbox and I was talking so much about follow-up emails, and I drafted 3 follow-up emails and I said, here, world, you can have them for free. And since then I've gotten literally thousands of emails from people saying, I thought I had lost this job offer, but then I followed up and within 20 minutes I had the job offer, or I thought that this company was not going to invite me back, but I used this email and I got an interview the next day. It is amazing. And we often give up too early. And so I also have that on the front page of my website, madelinemann.com, for anyone who just wants those emails and could just shoot them out, because exactly, it really makes all the difference.
It truly does. And, you know, I would love, of course, thank you so much for sharing so many gems when it comes to interview prep. I would love if you can share, just in case someone's listening, you know, they're currently interested in learning more about what it's like to work with you. What would you say is, you know, regarding your particular process?
Totally. So if you want to see more of my content, you can go to YouTube and watch Self-Made Millennial. If you want to join my coaching program, head over to madelinemann.com and you can find the work with me tab. And it is just a blast. I really help you A to Z in the process, not only for you to land a job now, but to prepare you to get passively companies approaching you, organizations asking you to interview with them without even applying online. So yeah, definitely you can find me at madelinemann.com.
You heard her loud and clear. All of this information is going to be included in the show notes. And thank you again, Madeline. It was truly a pleasure. Until next time.
Thank you for tuning in on this week's episode on the Social Work Insider. For more resources, feel free to check out my website, yourevolvedmind.com. That's all for now. Till next time.